sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, without love, no one else would show up. Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? I wanna live like that and give it all I had, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stand. Recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I wanna live like that. I wanna live like that. Am I proof that you are who you say you are? That grace can really change your heart? Do I live like your love is true? People pass, and even if they don't know my name, is there evidence that I've been changed? When they see me, do they see you?
Devil's trying to take this song from us, just completely deleted it out of our list. How about that? Can we start some prayers right now? Because I'm just feeling opposition in the room, and I don't know why. Just raise your hands if you would, and just start praying to our Father to just cover over this room with His Holy Spirit and to just change the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. Winning today. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper when the darkness falls.
knows it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. My God will never fail. I'm gonna see all.
thousands stormy than what they think you like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. So when I tell that you're pleasing, that I'm never alone.
You're a good, good Father.
Who I am.
give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, Lord. I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hand. Lord, I'm longing to see your
you. Worship the Lord today. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and love Him just a moment. Father, we rejoice, we rejoice, we rejoice. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. And here we go. Some of you need to hear this morning, and His mercy endureth forever. Come on, thank the Lord for His mercy today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Your mercy. For Your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. I know what some of you are thinking. And the reason I know what some of you are thinking is because I think the same thing sometimes. I give myself away, and you're thinking, man, I don't even have it right. I don't even have the T's crossed and the I's dotted. Come on. Anybody feel that way sometime? Lord, I just don't know. I'm a mess. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Listen to what Paul says. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. Oh, wretched man that I am. You stinking thing. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Check this out. Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Come on, look at the cross this morning. I then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve sin. Amen? When I consider my flesh, I default to sinful things, sinful thinking, sinful actions, sinful behaviors. And so how can we rid ourselves of these things? You know, you get out what you put in. Come on. You get out what you put in. If you take more and more and more and more of His word and His presence and your time with Him, then you're going to get out of your experience, your walk, your life, your behavior, your demeanor, your mannerisms, your words. Then those things are going to come out of you because you get out what you put in. Amen. Too much TV, too many movies, hanging around the guys, too much cussing, too much talking. Come on. You get out what you put in. Amen. I'm going to be preaching this coming Saturday, what's called the Man Event, one of the sessions in there. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Trying to call God's men to a new place. But why don't we go ahead and get started today? We're men, women, boys, and girls. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul was the one who said, you know, I find myself in an unusual predicament. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Can anybody in the house relate to this man, Paul? Come on. And so what do you do, Pastor? Well, you thank God for His grace, but you don't abuse it. You don't abuse it. In my wallet here, it's the North Carolina driver's license. And it gives me the authority to drive on the highways of this state. And I'm still not to abuse it, right? I drive within the parameters. Come on. Don't sin. I drive within the parameters. And if I don't, then judgment is coming. Amen? How many of y'all have had judgment besides me? Come on, I've had, woo, 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 woo. What's he stopping me for? But here's the thing. That license is not a license to just do what you want to do. Well, I got a license. I drive the way I want to drive. No. And neither is the license, neither is God's mercy and His grace a license for you to do wrong things. I once was lost in sin. Here I go again. No, 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 no. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. All right? And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Amen. What you have to do is make sure that you don't do what Paul said in Romans 6. First message I ever preached here almost 30 years ago in August. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He answers the question inspired of the Holy Spirit, Romans 6, 1 and 2. No, God forbid. By no means, one translation says, you should not see my grace as a license for you to do wrong. Just do it and then go to the confessional booth. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me. That's abusing God's grace. I hope the Lord is just speaking to us today. He's speaking to me. Don't abuse his grace. Don't cheapen his grace. He gave his life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, I just don't feel like I have something worthy of giving. Why don't you just go through a cleansing right now, and just as Daryl sings this song one more time, just Father, cleanse me, wash me clean afresh and anew. Help me to receive the things into my life, that when the things come out of my life, there'll be a direct reflection of what I've put inside. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of abundance of the heart, the mind thinks. Amen. So Lord, help me to put in good things so that I can give myself away. And in the giving of myself away, I have love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control. I have all the fruit of your Spirit to manifest rather than the fruit of unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Come on, make a commitment fresh to the Lord today, right where you are. Sing it, Daryl. Come on. Hallelujah. My life. Myself to you today afresh and anew. I give myself to you, God, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Transform my mind, Lord. Help me to think the thoughts, God, that honor you, that glorify you. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you. Thank you again, Lord, for your wonderful, wonderful grace. Help us not to abuse it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, smile at somebody before you're seated this morning. Come on. Smile at somebody before you're seated. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Clap your hands to the Lord. He's a good God. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Thank you for being with us today in person. Thank you for watching us online, those of you who are watching with us. We pray that you'll be encouraged and strengthened in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. Such a beautiful day God's given us. How many of y'all just enjoyed the fall temperatures in the last few days? I got good news for you. Summer's coming. Today it's going to get into the 90s. Come on. Ah, see, you shouldn't have complained. Some of you said, man, it's a little chilly. No, 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 it's not chilly. Today it's going to be in the 90s, tomorrow in the 90s. So it's called Indian summer. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so glad you're with us today for worship. Glad you're with us to celebrate the goodness of God. Glad you're with us to pray for those who need prayer. Still remember Barron, would you do that? I had a chance to talk with him this week. God is good, amen? God is so good. Remember Robert Hurdle, who's struggling at home. He just post-surgery. He's watching us this morning. He's been faithful to do that. Remember him. Mike Cordera. Mike and Vicky need our prayers today. Let's pray for Mike, and he's hospitalized as well. Needs a touch of God. Needs a touch of God. Do you know persons who need prayer today? Come on, lift your hand today. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, strong and mighty God, we thank you, God, that you're the one that according to Ephesians 3:20 can do exceedingly abundantly above everything, God, that our minds could even think or imagine. So we ask you, God, to just continue to do your great work. Touch your people. Continue to touch their minds, their bodies, their souls, and their spirit, Lord. In Jesus' strong name, heal the sick. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray for our family this week. Tomorrow, somebody say tomorrow, we get a grandbaby tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. We're awaiting the birth tomorrow of Eli Wheelis. Amen. His name's already on the wall. His little nursery's all fixed up. He's got enough Pampers to last him to Christmas. Come on. He's ready to go, man. And tomorrow he'll come into the world in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then just any day now, we're thinking maybe it might be the same day. We don't know. But just any day now, little Cleo will be born on the West Coast to Josh and Cassandra. Please pray for them as well. They're waiting. She's at home, just miserable. How you doing, Cassandra? Oh, I'm miserable. She's almost there, all right? The birth pains are beginning to start. And so let's pray for them. We moved from 4 grandkids to 6 this week. We only want 12. Come on, Zach. Let's just, you know, that's all. We only want 12. Amen. Amen. God, raise them up. Amen. Now, we believe in divine order. We got to have a wife first, you know. We believe in doing it the right way. So anyway, no pressure, Zach. No pressure. No pressure. Maybe you could talk to the other kids and see if they can increase the number so you don't have such a great responsibility. But how many of you know big families are happy families? How many of y'all know that? Amen. How many remember the Waltons? Come on. How about 8 is enough? Amen. I don't think 8's enough. I think 12's good. Amen. Anyway, wherever you are in that process, relationally, you're looking for a spouse. How many people are looking for a spouse? Zach, raise your hand, please. Amen. How many are looking for a spouse? Anybody? Amen. How many of you want God to change your spouse? Don't raise your hand, okay? Don't raise your hand. But just pray. How many of you are believing God for children? Maybe you haven't been able to have a child, or maybe you're wanting grandchildren. Come on, anybody? Father, right now, in Jesus' name, you're the God of relationships. So we speak peace over them. We speak divine. Listen to how I pray, people. Divine provision. Only the ones that you desire. Match them up. Cause them, God, to be connected in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for kids and grandkids. Thank you for touching our lives in amazing ways through God-ordained relationships. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Now it's time to give. Amen. We want, amen. Praise the Lord. Our buckets are here. If you're giving online, you see the ways to do it. You can give online through our website. You can use the app. You can use PushPay. You can give by mail. Or you can just come on up here now as we're talking and drop your funds in the buckets. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you for doing what God asks you to do. Praise the Lord. remind you that there are tremendous opportunities that are available to you on a regular basis. And this weekend, coming up this weekend, is going to be an incredible weekend for men and for women. Our women are slated for the Gather Conference, which is going to be held at Faith Assembly in Winterville, Greenville area, right out by Sam's Club. And that's a tremendous opportunity for you. Some of our women are already paid and signed up, and they're excited about that. In the same weekend, next Saturday, the Man Event. This is for Northeastern North Carolina. From Roanoke Rapids to Ocracoke, 39 churches will gather right here, Carpenter Shop International Church. We've had men all over that region that have signed up already. And this event started out as a $40 event for men, and they lowered it to $30. And today, somebody say today, if you sign up today, it's $20. That's your breakfast and your lunch. It's from 9 to 2. It's right here at your host church. And for no other reason, because your church is hosting it, you know what you ought to do? You ought to support it. How about if these guys walk in here and say, well, where's the Carpenter Shop guys? Okay? We're hosting the event, and so we want you to sign up today. Joel Tapscott has a sign-up sheet. All you have to do is see him at the Welcome Center at the close of the service and go ahead and put your name down there and give him your $20. And let's get involved. We're going to be talking about the mountains in our lives and going to have a great time together. Men from all over, from Roanoke Rapids to Ocracoke, will be here. And we're going to have a great time together investing in men. Amen. Listen, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about killing the buck or anything like that next week. It's not time for that yet. But we'll get you ready, okay? We'll get you ready. The Man Event. Dealing with the mountains in your life. And then don't forget, ladies, you got a Bible study opportunity. I was here at the church till late Friday night and saw the ladies getting connected there in the cafe. Stacy is leading that. Thank you, Stacy, for doing an incredible job leading our women there in Mom Set Free. How many of you don't realize sometimes that, hey, these kids are driving me bananas? How many of you need to be set free from that so you can love them the way you're supposed to love them? And learn the lessons that God has ordained that you learn through the process of raising children. Amen. So, get involved in that. It's online available as well. And we would love to have you guys involved in that. Well, we're preaching a series to you called Seeing Revival Clearly. Amen. Seeing Revival Clearly. So, I'm excited today to share with you the second of three messages. We'll conclude this series on next Sunday. And last week, we looked at the church through the lens of the prophet Isaiah. Amen? Through the lens of the prophet Isaiah, a man who was called by God to speak to the children of Israel first about their future. He was also prophetically speaking about the coming of the Messiah because Mark comes along in his gospel, and Mark tells us about a man who was the forerunner of Jesus. What was his name? John the Baptist. Mark comes along, and when he tells us about John the Baptist, he begins to do what? He backs up, and he starts quoting Isaiah. I'm studying the Bible out loud here. Is that all right? He starts quoting Isaiah, that very passage that we preached from last week. And a greater sense, he was also, in a third context here, he not only was speaking to the children of Israel about their life, he was also speaking and prophesying the Messiah, which was to come. And then the third thing that he was doing was he was speaking to us, to believers under the new covenant, the New Testament. And he was talking about, here we go, two words I want to use, a prophetic progression. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Things that must happen if you and I are to clearly see revival in our own life and in the life of our church. Amen. I had a chance to speak to a church just this past week, and the church was rather empty. There were a bunch of seats there and no people. And I said, listen, the reason we know that we need divine revival in our lives, look around you. The seats are empty. You know, if you were to leave right now, don't do it because shame on you if you did. But if you were to leave right now and go to Food Lion or Walmart, they're busy this morning. They're just extremely busy. Walmart is busy right now. And if you go into Walmart right now, you know who you'll see? People from Carpenter Shop. They're there. They're there. They're wandering around looking for things to buy. You know, how do you know? Because I've had to run to the store during church before, okay, to pick up something that I needed for the sermon or something, an object lesson. I thought, hey, man, I went to Walmart just a few minutes and saw 10 people from Carpenter Shop family. What are you doing in here? You know, you should be in the house of worship preparing yourself on the first day of the week. This is Sunday. We come together and we position ourselves, posture ourselves, place ourselves under the man of God to hear for the people of God from the man of God what the Lord is saying to his house. And what he's saying to us in this prophetic progression about our lives is that there are some valleys that you need to fill. Let's go back to last week. We had to fill some valleys in our lives. We had some mountains that needed to be what? Leveled in our lives. Some of you are struggling with mountains that you can't seem to conquer. Maybe it's something you really desire to quit. Man, I remember when I was such a heavy smoker. I remember, you know, being broke and wanting a cigarette and pulling them out of somebody else's throwaways. I remember patching up broken cigarettes so I could suck air, you know, and smoke the thing. I remember pulling butts out of ashtrays and smoking because I didn't have any. I remember borrowing cigarettes. I remember wanting to quit, and I remember saying, I'm not going to do this anymore, and just taking a whole pack. Have you ever tried to destroy a pack of cigarettes? That's hard. I remember taking the whole pack and just twisting with everything that was in me. I did this one time, too. It's a terrible confession, but I must tell you. I destroyed a pack. And then about 2 hours later, I went back and picked them up and repaired them. Have y'all ever done that? Has anybody ever done that besides me? Thank you. I'm not stupid. I'm normal. Okay? Why would you do that, Wallace? Because I was severely addicted to nicotine. Severely addicted to nicotine. Some of you sitting here this morning, I'm just going to tell you because I love you, you're severely addicted to nicotine. You can't quit. Yes, I can. No, you can't. You can't. Not on your own. But if you allow God to level that mountain in your life, then God can help you quit. Well, how did you know I smoked? I walked by you, okay? You smell, okay? Pastor, come on. I'm here to tell you what? The truth. The truth, okay? Some of you are severe tobacco addicted, and you want to quit. You want to quit. And you know what? If you want to quit, you can, okay? If you want to quit, you can. Now, let's just give a pause right there. I was always taught in homiletics class, that's the preaching class, that once you start to preach, sometimes you just need to pause and let the Holy Ghost take that and work on that spirit for just a moment. Some of you want to. Some of you have tried and you can't. And, you know, the reason I can speak to this issue is because I was there one time, okay? I was there with tobacco. I was there with alcohol. I've thrown so many bottles down, crashed them on the sidewalk, and said, not doing this anymore. And all it took was an invitation the next night. Hey, what you doing? Studying for a test. I'm a student at NC State, living on the backside of Hillsborough Street, which was not a good place to live as a young college student. What are you doing? Studying for a test. Don't you know they got 10-cent strohs down at Edwards Grocery? 10-cent. I'll meet you down there in just a few minutes. That was all it took. Why? Because I was severely addicted to alcohol. But God, okay, who is rich in his mercy, okay? That was a mountain in my life, okay? And God wants, listen, God wants to level mountains in your lives. For some of you, you never smoked a cigarette in your life. You never took a drink of whiskey, alcohol, or anything. Well, I got this under control. No, you don't. You don't have it under control. If you do, just choose to quit. Can you do without it? Why are you using it? Come on. Why are you using it? If you can do without it, why are you using it? Why don't you drink water? Okay? Why don't you just enjoy iced tea? Because I like a beer once in a while. There we go. Because I like to do something other than what I should be doing. It's awful quiet in the church today. Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church, okay? Really quiet. Where's your robe, Pastor? I left it home. But listen. The Holy Spirit I have a responsibility. It's a hard one. And when the Holy Spirit puts something in my spirit, guess what I have a responsibility to do? It's to pass that along to you. It's not good that you smoke. It's not good that you drink. And just when you thought those were the only two things I was going to mention, it's also not good that you are gluttonous and overeat. Okay? It's not. It's not good for you. It works on your health. Okay? It's also not good to lie, steal, cheat, and misrepresent your taxes. Okay? Anybody else want anything else on the list this morning? It's not good to lust. Okay? Come on. I mean, you can just keep on going. Paul can help you here, okay, in Galatians or Ephesians. He can help you. He can give you a whole list of things that fall under ungodly behaviors. But you see the prophetic progression. God says, I want to fill some valleys in your life. I want to level some mountains. I want to straighten out some curved roads. And I want to take some rough places and make them smooth. Well, I'm not going back to that church. If you go to any church that preaches the truth, you're going to run into this. So if you need to leave, God bless you on your way out, okay? Because I'm not holding back just to make you happy. All right? Is that all right? My message to you from the heart of God last week was that the church of 2021, the church that is clearly looking for revival. And you, by the way, if you say, well, you know, I bumped into pastor the other day, and I had a guy one time, it was so funny, I have to reflect in my memory here, that he did not want me to know that he was a smoker. And when he saw me coming, he goes, okay, hey, pastor, how are you doing? And so I had a little bit of spite in me. I thought, I'm going to stand here till that thing burns his knuckles. And I just, hey, man, how are you doing? I'm doing good. So what's been going on with your family, okay? And I see him starting to getting a little antsy now, and I figure it's about halfway up. So, hey, man, so how's things going at work, okay? And finally I looked, and just blip, it hit the ground. I said, okay. I said, it's right behind you. Just step on it. Okay, I had a mean streak in me, man. Listen, but you know what? If I see you and you are a smoker, you are a drinker, I'm not going to condemn you for that, because Jesus took care of that stuff. He said, why are you going to be dealing with the speck in your brother's eye? Come on. And you got a beam in your own. So it's not my job to condemn you, okay? But it is my job to speak the things that the Lord gives to me, okay? And so you ought to just love me for that, okay? You ought to just appreciate me for that, because I'm not here to make you happy, okay? We're here to look at the counsel of God. And in this season right now, God is saying, I want you to get a picture of what revival truly is, okay? And so, in other words, you and I may think that we simply need some rough places smoothed off, but you have to understand something here. You can't make minor adjustments to major problems. You can't just put a Band-Aid where there needs to be some stitches, okay? So God has to just do some things in our hearts, and we reveal our hearts, then the Holy Spirit helps us, and we can get back up on our feet and do what God's called us to do. Today, I want to take a second look at seeing revival clearly, and in doing so, I want to look at a closer look, a clearer look, a more clarified look at the church. And how do you find out what the church looks like? You go to the Bible, okay? You go to the Bible. That's right, the book that is actually our constitution and bylaws. You go to the Bible, our manual for life. You go to the Bible, Church 101, the basics of Christianity. You go to the Bible, Church for Dummies, okay? That's where you find out what you're supposed to be behaving like, how you're supposed to be acting, what are you supposed to be manifesting in your life. So as I take a close look at the Bible, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me to take a look at the record that speaks about the characteristics of the church in the first century. And so the church that sees clearly must understand that the early church was established in one major thing, and that was called prayer. You can't find too many people in the church that pray today. They're too busy. They've got too much to do. They've got too much going on. I give you Sunday, but I can't do Wednesday. Why not? Because I work a job. So does everybody. Well, not in this country today. People aren't working. Okay? Because we got a government that has made them lazy. And they're going to sit home and get more money than if they were out there working. That's another whole deal. Established in prayer. It's the Lord Himself who set this in motion. He was on the earth. He came into the world through the Virgin Mary in a little town called Bethlehem. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived in Nazareth. He ministered in Galilee. He died in Jerusalem. Did you get that? He was born in Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth, ministered in Galilee, died in Jerusalem on the hill of Calvary. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't even have his things taken care of, but he was resurrected from the grave. And when he was hanging out with the disciples over a good meal of herons and hush puppies, he had a fish meal, fish and bread on the shore, remember? He prepares them for his departure from the earth. He says to them, I must go. In the King James, it says this, it's expedient that I go. For if I don't go, then what happens? Then the Comforter cannot come. If I don't leave the earth, Jesus said, I can't pour the Spirit out. So the Comforter must come. The Holy Spirit must come. So Jesus tells them, it's in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 49. This is what is written, the Bible says. The Christ will suffer, the Christ will rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance, verse 47, and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Your witnesses, verse 48 of these things. But stay, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed, endued, enveloped, infused with power from where? From on high. So he was speaking to what commentators tell us and what the Bible seems to indicate to us about 500 people. But listen, 500 people didn't take him seriously, okay? I spoke to a bunch of men this morning. Let's say I spoke to 50 men. Maybe 10 of you will say, hey, I'm going to the man event. The other 40 could care less. That's just statistically. 500 people hear what God is saying through Christ, and 120 of them take him seriously. They returned to Jerusalem to the upper room. They stayed there continually. They worshiped and they waited and they worshiped and they waited. This, my friend, was the establishment of what we know as the church. There was 120 people who were faithful to do what Jesus told them to do, and 120 were seeking the Father, and 120 were waiting for the promise of God, because he says, you tarry until you are endued with power. And they took him seriously. They waited for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let me submit to you today that the very church of which you and I are a part of was established in prayer. They were seeking God. Okay? The first church of 120 were not concerned about what they would call themselves, Assemblies of God, Southern Baptists, Pentecostal Free Will Baptists, Nazarenes. They weren't concerned about what they were going to be called. They weren't concerned about who the leader was, let's get us a pastor. They weren't concerned about what style of song they were going to be singing or whether or not someone on the platform should or should not have a hat on. They weren't concerned about any of that. Had a pastor call me this about a week and a half ago. Man, all his church is all upset. Why? Because there's a young man on the platform with a hat on. I said, you got to be kidding me. They are that taken away by a hat? Well, you don't, you know, say, yeah, they've torn me to pieces, man. You don't wear a hat in the church. No, I don't. But some people do. Okay? Do you not wear shoes in the church? Do you not wear a coat in the church? Or do you not carry a handbag in the church? Listen, you can split that all you want to, and you're not going to win. Because that's just an issue of clothing. Okay? When you read the Bible, you know what it says you ought to do with your head? Cover it. Okay? So somewhere we got to strike a balance here and say what is right, what is wrong, what's the real deal. But this early church was not concerned about splitting hairs over stuff like that. They were concerned about prayer. That's what they were concerned about. Connection and communion with God. They were concerned about following the command of the Lord. And you can research every sovereign move of God, every revival that you have ever heard anything about, from the Great Awakening to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Azusa Street in California. You can search every one of them, and you will discover that they all began with serious prayer. I thank God for people like Mother Jenny and Susan Mitchell and those who have rallied times. I've come here to the church many times and see cars in the parking lot and say, I wonder what's going on here, you know, and I look in the window of the sanctuary and there's people on their face, down here on their knees. I hear the rumblings of praying in English and praying in the Spirit, and I just stand there and say, thank God. People are praying. People are interceding. They're standing in the gap, asking God to do amazing and powerful things. Right now, as I'm preaching this morning, you don't know it, but somebody's in the back room back there, the prayer room, 104, on their face, asking God Almighty to help us in this sanctuary today. And they're praying for God to move with His Spirit and with power, and that the pastor can preach and the worship team can lead and instruments will work properly and technology won't give us a curveball. They're praying that God would do everything that is possible to make everything effective today. Thank God for intercessors. People who pray. I thank God for those people because the early church was birthed in prayer. Secondly, the early church was empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit. The early church, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, records the story. When the day of Pentecost came, this 120 people were all together in one place. And suddenly, the Bible says, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. It wasn't a wind, it was a sound. Okay? And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be pillars of fire. It wasn't fire, it just appeared like fire. Okay? If it was fire, every one of them would have been singed. It wasn't fire. It was a pillar that seemed to be like fire, okay? And it sat down and rested on each of them. And all of them were taken away in the Holy Spirit. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. The church of the Bible was birthed in the power of the Spirit of God. You know, this whole division in the church has cost us more souls than it ever won us. It has. It's cost us more souls than it has ever won us. Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a Methodist. Well, I'm a Pentecostal. Well, I'm a this, I'm a that. We need to be more concerned about relationship with God through Jesus Christ and forget about the titles that put us in such confusion today. There are so many twisted ideas about what a true Christian is that we've just got the whole thing messed up. Okay? We've got the whole thing messed up. God is really concerned about your heart. Okay? And so the church came in on the winds and the fire of Pentecost, established in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Today we need a church that is empowered in the same manner. The problems that we face today in this culture and in this society are only dealt with by people who are flowing in the dynamics of the Spirit of God. We have a messed up world today. We have a world that is in serious, serious trouble. I don't know where we're heading. I wish I did know. I would give forewarnings. All I can tell you is you need today more than you've ever had before. You need an established life of prayer. You need today more than you ever had before. I can clearly see it. Not only do you need an established life of prayer, you and I must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have to have the Holy. Well, I don't want to speak in tongues. You don't have to. You get to, okay? You don't have to speak in tongues. You get to. Sometimes, man, I wander off in my car somewhere, you know, not in the car wandering, but while I'm driving, I wander off. And I just pray. And I'm riding down the road, and I'm sitting at the stoplight, and I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody looking at me, and I turn to the left, and the guy goes, well, I wonder what he's doing. I just was called away for a moment, okay? Just praying in the Holy Spirit. And God just will minister to you and minister to your spirit and empower you and equip you. And not only was there a sense of God's presence that day in the upper room, there was a manifestation that just labeled that day as a day of Pentecost. Numbers puts it like this. The wind was manifested that day. When they heard the sound of the wind, you're talking about people here who had the ability to reflect. What does that mean? What does that sound speak to my heart and my mind about the past? That sound gave them a divine recollection of former days. I talked to a guy this past week. I was preaching to him, I guess. But we were talking about wind. And I said, well, you know, we were talking about fishing because I went fishing with him early in the morning, and I finally caught one that I could keep. The last one I caught was 48 inches, and they said it's too big, so I threw it back overboard. You don't throw a 48-inch puppy drum back overboard, okay? But I had to. So then I caught a cobia that was 32 inches long. You can't keep a cobia that's 32 inches long, so what did I do? Blick up, threw a 32-inch cobia back overboard. So finally, I caught a puppy drum this week that was 24 inches long. Praise God. He's down here in my stomach because yesterday I ate him, okay? Okay? I ate that puppy drum. And you know, I have this idea, and that you know, what is a good day? You know, what is a good day to go fishing? And we were talking about fishing, and I said to him, he said, man, we sure ain't doing a whole lot today. I said, well, I'm tickled to death, man. How many puppy drum can you keep? One, okay? One per man. If there's two in the boat, you can keep two, okay? So I caught one. Now, he hadn't caught anything by this time. He said, man, it just ain't biting. I said, I got my limit. Okay? He said, well, you got a point there. I said, what's the wind out of today? He said, well, the wind's out of the, I don't know, north or something like that. I said, well, it's not the best day to be fishing anyway. He said, why do you say that? I said, well, you're the fisherman, not me. We're in your boat at your expense. You asked me to come, and you bring me out here on a day where the wind's not right? He said, oh, you're one of those guys. I said, well, the Bible talks about it. I said, I preach the message about the four winds, and every wind has a specific responsibility. And when the wind that we're talking about right here, Numbers 11, now a wind went out from the Lord. And if you study this passage, you'll discover that this was a southwest wind. And it drove quail in from the sea. It took quail and it caused those quail to defy everything that they wanted to do. And it drove them all the way down to the sea. It scattered them up 2 cubits deep all around the camp. As far as a day's walk in any direction, there was nothing but birds in the air. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Now, what in the world is a homer? 10 homers is the same as 60 bushels. Every family represented there took home 60 bushels of quail. What are they going to do with all those birds? Well, have you ever checked out at Walmart and stood in their line to your right or to your left? You can look and there's about 12 or 15 or sometimes even 20 pegs of what we call jerky, okay? They had a procedure in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, they had a procedure where they would preserve their meat by drying it. And so every family got 60 bushels, no less than 60 bushels. And they created some of the best tasting quail jerky you ever had in your life. And they had food enough. In other words, God was saying to them, I'm more than enough. I'm the one who makes provision for you to have what you need. And so when they're down on their face and they hear the wind, God was speaking to that early church and saying to them, I am your provider. And he took that southwest wind and he blew those quail down so that all you had to do. Has anybody ever been snipe hunting besides me? Any guys been snipe hunting before? I've always heard about it, but I still don't have a snipe to this day. But I can imagine in my mind's eye that all those little guys had to do was just take the sack and just wave it in front of them and it was filled with quail. Because the Holy Spirit brought those birds down to the level that everybody could grab some. Okay? That's what the wind reminded them of. Amen? Then they spread them out all around the camp. When they heard that wind, they knew that it was significant of the provision of God. He would give them all that they needed to be the church that he was calling them to be. Then Luke says, not only was there a sound of wind, but there was an appearance of pillars of fire that came down and set upon the heads of those who gathered there. Then they remembered when they associated fire, they looked all the way back again. And they remembered a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verses 1 and 2 says this, when Solomon finished praying. What is he doing here? Solomon's praying, but he's praying a specific prayer of dedication over the what? The temple. He dedicated the temple, and the Bible says that when he finished praying, fire comes down from heaven, consumes the burnt offering, just like that, and the sacrifices. Then what happens? The glory of the Lord fills the house. The priest could not even enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled that temple. Amen? Have you ever been in those services? Man, I would to God that we would have them again. Have you ever been in those services that there's no way you can stand up? Have you ever been in those services where you look around and half the church is just on the floor? Have you ever been in those services where people are just losing all composure and they're just shouting and tears are flowing and people are just getting blessed because the Spirit of God is so real? Can I just tell you something? Those days can happen again if you will bathe yourself in prayer, if you will come with expectancy and stop looking at church as something you do out of an obligation and start longing to be in His presence. God can do it again. Amen? The same thing happened when the day of Pentecost, when the church was born. The Bible says that pillars of fire came down. And right before it got down to the bottom, it separated and it sat on the heads of each one in that room. And what was God saying then? I'm pleased with my temple. He was telling Solomon, I'm pleased with my temple. The fire came and showed itself mighty in the Lord's behalf and said, I'm pleased with the temple, Solomon. And the Lord was saying the same thing on the day of Pentecost. I'm pleased with my temple. Because your body, Paul says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are created to house the very presence of God. You've heard me say it so many times before over the last 29 years. In the Bible, God shows us that He had a temple for His people in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, God has a people for His temple. Okay? I've been pastoring this church for a long time. Can I tell you something in all honesty? One of the creepiest places to be when you're by yourself and not a soul is around anywhere is in a church. You can hear all kinds of noises in a church. I'm telling you, man, it's like, whoa, whoa, what was this? What's that? I heard something. Something's upstairs. Nobody's around. So really, honestly, on a Sunday morning, the presence of God is not really manifested. Some of y'all are going to get jacked up by this comment, but that's okay. The presence of God is never really experienced or felt until all of you guys walk in here. Can I say that one more time? The presence of God is never really experienced and felt until you walk in the building. Why? Because you house His presence. You bring His presence in awareness to this facility. Okay? That's when it's not creepy. Okay? Because you're here and you house the presence of God. It's important for us to make sure we understand that. That's what the 2021 church must be, this last quadrant of the year. We've got to be a praying church, and we've got to be an empowered church, a church that is set on fire by the manifest presence of God burning in our lives, burning out the flesh like we talked about early in the service, and filling us with the Holy Spirit. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church, said, if you get on fire, people will come out and watch you burn. We need to get on fire for the things of God so that people will hunger and thirst after these things. What kind of results did we see in the Bible when people experienced the power of God, the fire of God? Well, if you leave Acts chapter 2, Luke bothers to tell us, because he's the author, Luke bothers to tell us that there is an example of what happens to you when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people got it all messed up. They think that the people who are loud and obnoxious are the ones who are Holy Ghost filled. They run all over the place and speaking in tongues to the top of their lungs. A lot of times, there's not a lot of depth there. Okay? But here's an example of what he says. Here's an example of spirit filled. If you leave Acts chapter 2 on the story of Pentecost and you go to Acts chapter 3, you find that there's a man who's laying by the gate called Beautiful. And he's been there all of his life. He's laying there. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. He's asking for money. He's a beggar. He's crippled. Almost 40 years he's struggled with this, and he's just begging for money to get some help. And Peter and John have been this route so many times before. Every day, the time of prayer, they go to the temple. And you know what? Just because Pentecost happened, they didn't get rid of their Jewishness. What do they do the next day? They go to the temple. Why? Because it's the time of prayer. And they're walking by this temple, and they see this man that they've seen so many times before. But this time, he got their attention. Why this time? Because they are connected to the Spirit of God now. And they walk up to him, and they say, hey, man, silver and gold we don't have. But what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says immediately, this man's feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaped all over that place like a gazelle deer because he had received from the man of God. That's the kind of life that you and I need to live, that we need to live in such a manner that we are attuned and attentive to the Spirit of God, saying, pray for this one, pray for that one, intercede for this one, intercede for that one. We need to hear from God and not be afraid, as we are empowered by the Spirit to minister to God's people. Amen? Thirdly and finally, not only were we empowered by the Spirit, and not only were we're people of prayer, but we are people who should be encouraged by connection. I just spent 5 minutes earlier in the service asking you as a man, asking you to join us, asking you as women, how can I get together, okay? You can still sign up, okay? You can still meet them in Winterville, Greenville. You can be a man and be here Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And get connected, because the people of God in the Bible were encouraged by connection. They didn't look at it like, oh, another meeting. No, they went to those gatherings daily, not once a year at a man event, not once a month at some men's meeting or women's meeting. They gathered how often? Daily. They were encouraged by connection. They wanted to stay connected. Acts chapter 2, let's look at the description of the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. They were devoted to what else? To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. In other words, what was happening all the time? Miracles, 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 over and over and over again. Miracles. All the believers were together and had everything in property. These people lost their sense of selfishness. And in verse 45, they would sell their property, they would sell their possessions, and they would just give the money to people who had need. Wow. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And because of this kind of characteristic, what happened to the church? The Lord added to their number daily people who were being born again and saved. Amen? And until we get like that, we're still going to have empty seats. I'm just telling you. You heard me tell the story before. I'll tell you again. Shorter version. I remember going to a man who attended this church who, when I counted in my head, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 automobiles in his possession. And I knew somebody in the church who didn't have a way to church, and they were hitching a ride and gathering transportation from some, can you give me a ride? People get tired of that. Just in the natural, they do. You can do it for a little while, and you say, you know what? This is just, I don't have time for this. Some of y'all have done that before. So it's nice when you have your own transportation. So I called this man up, and I called him by name, and I'm not going to slip because I don't slip. I said, hey, let me ask you a question. Got someone in the church that needs a car, and you got 7. Would you be willing to give one of those cars away to this person in the church who desperately needs an automobile? Give it away? Man, he was frustrated with me because I'd ask him for a car. I said, yeah, give it away. He said, man, I can't do that. I said, okay, have a good day. About 3 weeks after that, I passed by his house, and he had one of his cars in the yard with a big old black and orange lettered fluorescent sign on it that said, for sale. What did he want more than he wanted God's blessings? He wanted more money in his pocket. Okay? If you ever read that story in the Gospel of Luke about this man who had all this grain and he filled it up in his barn, read that passage of scripture and look at all the personal pronouns. My barn, my farms, my yield, my grain. And I will say to myself, wow. You have to be careful. You have to be careful because you know what? It's really not yours. God has allowed you to borrow it on this earth just for a season. Because you know what? When you die, you ain't taking none of it with you. You're not. And so if you're blessed, you're blessed to be a blessing. Okay? You're blessed to be a blessing. And so we had to be willing to give, willing to share, willing to love, willing to sow into the lives of other people. That's the kind of blessings the early church had. She was connected. She was in small groups, okay? You know, we're over and over again, we're trying efforts to get people connected. And not, listen, it's not important that Stacy has 47 women in the prayer group, in the Bible study. We don't want 47 women in Stacy's Bible study. We don't. You know why? Because you lose connection with 47. 7 would be better than 47. Why, Pastor? Because with 7, you can talk across the table, back and forth. You can connect. Well, I can share what I can share, and you can share what you can share. So really, it's not about big numbers. But if you have this group and that group and the other group and that group and this group and all of these other small groups meeting and connecting, then the whole becomes stronger. Amen. They enjoyed tremendous connection in the early church. It's important to stay connected. Some people come to church, they arrive late, they leave early, and you don't even know their name. How many of you, there's some people in Carpenter Shop Church, somebody had a gun to your head, you couldn't tell them what their name is. Come on, help me. You couldn't. Why? Because you don't know them. Why? Because you're not connected to them. You're in the same room right now, listening to the same message right now, but you don't know them. And they don't know you. Why? Because you're not connected. Okay? You don't know how many times I'm in the store. In fact, Pastor Joy and I don't shop in Ahoskie very much. And the reason we don't is because it becomes a challenge. If I go into Walmart, I'm in trouble. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? My wife says, who was that? I say, I have no idea. Well, they spoke to you as if they knew. I said, yeah, I've seen them before, but I don't know who they are. Okay? And so what if for me to be successful shopping in Walmart, I have to go down the aisle. Hey, how you doing there, bro? Hey, good to see you, man. Hey, how's it going? Good to see you guys today. I have to go around just being happy and speak to everybody. That's not fun shopping, okay? Because you might miss somebody. Because I've had the complaint that several years ago, I had the complaint that I was in food line, and I walked right past somebody that attended this church, and they don't come here today because I went into food line and I didn't even speak to them, walked right down the aisle past them. Okay? How dare, I go to his church every Sunday, how dare he not speak to me? Okay? So guess what? There's more than one food line in northeastern North Carolina, okay? So when I go to the store where I live, you know what I do? I get my basket and I walk down the aisle and nobody says a word, okay? Wow, this is amazing. Nobody says a word, amen? Don't say anything. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. What kind of church are you seeing? What kind of potential are you seeing? If you really want to see the church, be the church. You know what you have to have? You have to have a church that is established and continues to operate in the medium of prayer to God. You have to have the church that is empowered by the Spirit like they were on the day of Pentecost. And you have to have a church that desires to be connected to other people. Listen, don't come in late and leave early. Hang around the halls and purpose in your heart, you know what? I'm going to get to know somebody in this church. I'm going to get to know them. And it will enrich your life, okay? It will enrich your life. And it will cause the church to get one step closer to a clear path to revival, because the characteristic that you see in the early church is that she was a church of tremendous love. If you love so much that you would sell something and take the money and give it away, then you love, because money doesn't have you, you have money. Amen? 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 Money doesn't have you. You have money and you're willing to give it away. I'll never forget standing right here one Sunday morning, and a guy comes up to me in tears, and he says, Pastor, God just spoke to me and told me to give you a car. I said, wow. I receive it in Jesus' name. And I put the keys in my pocket. He said, call me Monday or Tuesday, and I'll get the title to you. And so I talked with him after the service. I said, listen, you need to understand something. I don't need a car. I appreciate your faithfulness, but I don't need a car. So I'm telling you what I'm going to do with the car you gave me. I'm going to give it away, okay? I'm not going to sell it and put the money in my hand. I'm going to give the car away. I give my car away. I give my car away so you can drive it. I'm going to give the car away. If that's, you just need to know, okay? I'm not going to keep it. He said, that's fine with me. He said, all I know is the Holy Spirit told me to give it to you. I said, okay. Well, you got your blessing, now I'm going to get one, okay? So I gave the car away. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Learn to listen to the Holy Spirit as you pray, as you're empowered, and as you're connected. God will cause you to just be one more factor in the reality that your church is a church that is clearly revived. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. God is good. Worship team, would you join me this morning as we come to a close here? Let's just believe God for his touch upon each of our lives today. God is good. God is good. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you today with a sense of gratitude in our hearts, Lord, because you are the God who has redeemed us. You are the God who has given us purpose, and you're the God who's given us value. And Lord, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you, God, that you have spoken to our hearts. And Lord, we ask you just for a willingness today for each of us to be transformed by your Spirit, empowered by your Spirit. And God, I pray that you would just release, somebody say release. Just release a spirit and a desire upon our lives to be connected. To be connected to your kingdom through a small group gathering. Just to be connected. I pray in Jesus' name. Stand with me, would you, this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Let us be connected, God. If you're here this morning and you need special prayer today for any reason, maybe you need healing in your body, maybe you're struggling somewhere in a relationship or something that's troubling your spirit, and you just say, Pastor, I need someone to agree with me today. Listen, let's believe God together today for him to pour out of his Spirit upon your life and upon my life. Could I have our intercessors just to come, our prayer team, just come. And if you're here today and you need special prayer, come on, move out of your seat and let's believe God to touch us today in Jesus' strong name. In Jesus' strong name. Lord, make it your prayer. God, call me to a place of prayer. You know, I asked you last week to join me in a time of consecration. I didn't say 40 days. I didn't say 21 days. I didn't say 2 weeks. I didn't say 30 days. I said, join me in a time of consecration. Join me in a time of consecration. Set aside some personal time. Lay aside some personal things that you may not need anymore and allow God to replace some things in your life. Ask the Lord, God, move in our church. God, send revival. God, give me a hunger for your word. Begin to ask for simple things. God, give me a desire to be a part of that ladies group. God, give me a desire to be together with the men at the man event. Give me a desire, Lord. I promise you, if you will do that, God will help you. Amen. If you need salvation today, whatever you need, just come. Allow God to minister to you today in Jesus' name. If you need to leave, feel yourself dismissed. Be blessed as you go in the Spirit today. And pray much this week. Pray that God would again speak to us. And next week, we'll speak that last message on the clarity of revival in the local church. In Jesus' name, amen.
You, but I look forward to coming to God's house. Somebody ought to say amen. I come because my batteries need to be recharged. When you're gone all week long, and you've been around some of those things that Pastor was talking about today, it takes a whole lot of God to keep you going sometimes. You can't do it by yourself. There's no way, no how. Unless you pray and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, you fall flat on your face. But I thank God for this house. I thank God for Pastor Wallace. I thank God for you today. My wife and I have been coming here for a few years now, and we really enjoy it. We love it. And y'all just pray for us, because you know, comes a point in time you have to make a decision. Y'all just pray for us. Men, Pastor wanted me to remind you to go to the Welcome Center when we leave out today. And I just want to encourage you to be in prayer this week for one another. Be in prayer for Pastor Wallace. I have a little sticky note on the dash of my truck. Your name's on there. And when it gets filled up with other stuff, I'll tear it off and I'll write your name there again. Because I know he needs prayer. He has a lot of burden on him, more than you probably know. So y'all just pray for him. Let us bow our heads. Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we are so grateful and thankful, O God, that you have looked beyond our faults today. You've seen every one of our needs. And Lord, you have supplied all our needs according to your riches and glory. We have no right to complain, but God, we should be praising and worshiping you. So God, prepare ourselves to leave this place, but not your presence. We ask that you give us traveling mercy, safely back to our separate homes. And God, when we enter into the world in those public places, O Lord, may your glory shine through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. doing this. Hope y'all can tell by the video we just did. It's a lot of fun. We'd love to have you.
Yes, come join us. Any age, 11 and up, ladies.
Thank you.